So of the children of Issachar, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel had to do. So what was the point that Israel had to do? The answer is simple. To join King David. For us it's also the men of Israel today are saying to come under the headship of the son of David, Yeshua the Messiah, and trust him fully. There wasn't time to fight. The key was to fight between the north and the south, and the men of Issachar, who were from the north, that would have been the territory of King Shaul. War is over, no more wars. Now the anointing came over the right man, and we are going to follow the anointing, which is King David. Second important thing here is that they were different than any other tribe of Israel, because thank you, that was a very good word about trusting God, what he's doing in the world, trusting God, what he's doing in our families, trusting God, what he's doing in our circles, trusting God, and when we see that it doesn't work the way we thought, not to get upset with God, but to flow with God's plan. Such a good thought. Secondly, the heads of them were 200. So Issachar had 200, Issachar had 200 of their own leaders. All their brethren were at their command. Now this is unique, because when all the tribes came, they submitted themselves under the leaders of King David, leaders of Judah. But when Issachar came, they were already submitted in their hearts. They already knew what is the plan. They already were in the plan, so they could keep their own leaders, and they worked the best under their own leaders because they were servant leaders. Very unique. This only happened with this tribe, and this tribe is still today somewhere in the world, and they're going to be restored. At least 12,000 of them are going to be literally restored, and they have never lost their blessing or characteristic. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us and you love us, and we accept your headship because you are the shepherd king. You're the one who laid down your life for the sheep, so we have nothing to fear. You are our shepherd. You take care of us. You shepherd and guide us and feed us from eternity past to eternity future. And at this time, we're safe with you, and all the plans that you have are safe under your control. So we want to be like the men of Issachar, to turn ourselves to you in the name of Yeshua. But this also, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But this also tells another thing about King David. He wasn't a control freak, or he wasn't extra fearful. When he saw that these men come and they know the plan, they have his heart, they can keep their leaders. They don't need to be replaced. Their leaders don't need to be replaced. They're already in the same spirit. What a wonderful lesson for the body of the Messiah also, that we have one heart, one mind, and we think, the King James says, all the Bibles, most Bibles say, think the same thing. Actually, it's think the one thing. Now, today my meditation was, there's only one normal man in the world. That's Yeshua. And that's because he's drawing everything out of his fellowship with the Father. So the thing about following Yeshua, walking in his footsteps, being his disciple, it's a big thing. But the main point here is we imitate his abiding in the Father. As he's abiding in the Father, his Father loves me, I love the Father, continue in my love, so we abide in Yeshua, just as he was abiding in the Father. We're not perfect. We're constantly learning and practicing, but the way is clear. Everything we lack is in him. Everything we need is in him. All where we messed it up, we turn always to his rich forgiveness, honestly saying, Lord, I messed up here and I missed that one. Thank you for your graciousness, not only to forgive, but when he says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our thoughts are cleansed from those thoughts that are self-reliant and where we think by ourselves, like we just heard that we can think of the events of the world even by ourselves, not with the thoughts of God. And when things go differently, we can get upset. Yeah, this is wonderful. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We're in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if we say, why should we come to you? He would say, I'm the only one that has rest. He would say, I'm the only one that knows how to rest. All the other means of rest are not really absolute rest. Do you want that rest in your heart? I want that rest in my heart. Can I be honest? I don't know how to rest on my own. You remember Yaakov? Struggling, going to meet his brother, coming back from Paddan Aram. We'll probably read it in a few moments. And he was wrestling with the man. He was wrestling with the man till the dawn. The man was actually Malach Adonai, the Lord himself. The messenger, Malach, of the Lord. Yes. But why did he wrestle with him? When Yaakov left for the long journey, how did he get his vision? How did he see this wonderful ladder that reaches the earth from heaven? It doesn't say the ladder was set up on the earth. It says Arzah. The ladder was set towards the earth. The earth does not hold or support this heavenly ladder, which is actually Yeshua. Earth does not support it. God reaches with this ladder to earth. He reaches the world through his Son. But it's not the earth that is the supporting ground for this plan, for this ladder, for Yeshua, for anything. God reaches us. But where did he get this wonderful vision? And this whole vision is a whole teaching. When he was resting. Resting, head on a stone, maybe had some coat or jacket or something. But his head was on a stone. When he was resting, he got this vision. Now when he's coming back to the land, he needs to be in the same position. He just passed through the hard trial. Laban was after him. And the Lord spoke to him, don't do to him, don't speak with him anything good or evil. Don't bother him. He's mine. In other words, don't bother him. No. So, his fearful meeting with Laban or Laban went okay. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Yaakov, I need to meet with you again, the Lord will be saying. when you are coming back, I need to meet with you again. And you don't know how to rest. It was hard, 14 years, actually 20 years, in Paranara. You were wrestling and many things happened and very, 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 very difficult. You had to fight for everything. You had to battle for everything. 14 years for two wives and then extra for the sheep. Oi, oi. You don't know how to rest. So I need to put you to rest. And probably Yaakov thinks he's gonna harm him. So he fights. He probably came, I can't prove this, but he probably came just to lay him down. If he had done nothing, he would have laid him down. He would not have harmed him. He would have just put him down. But no, he doesn't want to go down. It's like, you know, like taming the wild horses. They think you're going to harm them. They are afraid of predators. So Yaakov interpreted this man coming to wrestle, it's going to harm me. No, he needed to go to rest. Yaakov didn't know how to rest. I don't know how to rest. No one knows how to really rest. 100% in the plan of God and in the heart of God, in the thoughts of God. Come unto me. Keep coming. Just not once. Keep coming all the time. Because I'm the only one that can give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. I will give you rest. It's actually, I will rest you. I will rest you. It doesn't have to be a fight. We fight. Because we misread it. We misread the plans of God. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is like, it's going to be my way. If you accept my way, it's not hard. If you don't accept my way, it feels heavy. But it's not heavy if you accept my way. Like two animals pulling a yoke together, but the strong one is, in this comparison, in this metaphor, Yeshua is carrying the weight and deciding the speed. So if I want to go faster, it's going to be pain on my neck. I wonder if that term, something is pain on the neck, if that comes from this imagery, I don't know. But if I go slower again than the one that leads, it's going to be pain. But if I go his speed, and I learn that speed, it's going to be just wonderful. That's how it works. If I go his speed, I go his... He carries the weight. He carries the whole weight. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke. So, I want to be free. The gospel makes everybody free, right? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Free from guilt, free from our own burdens, free from ignorance, free from, here's the thing, self. If I also want to be free from self-rule, then I need this yoke. This yoke is freedom from self. I know it's easy to say, God, I know your plan, I trust. I mean, I know that your plan is better. I trust that your plan is better. It's easy to say that. And we may even think that we really got hold of it. But when it comes to daily walk, day by day walk, I have to learn it every day. I have to learn it. It's like walking every day. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. Look to me. Learn of me. Okay. I understand we need to learn from people that have gone further than we have in the Lord. That's why there are teachers and there are those that instruct us. Ephesians 4 talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There are those that instruct us, those that are over us in the Lord, to use the term of the Hebrews. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We want to learn. But when we see how the Lord is teaching these other people, we're not really, we are outwardly learning from them, but we're really learning from the Lord. We're really learning from Him. We're really looking at Him. Yes, we listen, but it's really all about Him. Because He is the one meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Okay, souls. In Aramaic language, soul and self are the same meaning. They talk about the same thing. And what happened in the fall, you know, when man fell, his body fell into flesh, like adding drunkenness to thirst. These drives of the body control people. Our soul fell into self, independent self, self-rule. I gotta control things, even spiritual things. I have to learn all these things and have them mastered so I'm in control. Now we do need to learn, yes, but the learning has a little bit different meaning, a whole lot different meaning. So it's not the self that should rule. Yeshua is the only one who never had an independent self. What does he say in the book of Psalms? I was cast, in Psalm 22, I was cast on thee, on you, from my mother's womb. So the first breath that the Messiah took in Bethlehem when he came to this world, he was cast on the Lord from the mother's womb. So from the beginning, he was always depending on the Father. How did he do it as a little baby, a little child? He never had this. He was a different baby than any other baby, different child than any other child. And he would not have these fits, you know, like little children. I try not to call children kids, because I respect children higher. I know it's a slang word. I don't condemn anybody, but I never use that word. I stopped it. So little children get these fits, and they cry. They cry. I need this. I need this right now. And a little child learns, it's like, this is my world. And then the children have what's called like the individualization, where it's mine, everything is mine, and if it's not my way, I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna get it by, yeah, my ways. And little children even steal other children's toys. Yeah, but Yeshua, I would like to see a movie how he was playing with the other children. I'd like to see how he behaved, because he did not have these tendencies. Everything about him, from childhood to youth, was like, he is different. What is it? What is it? And when he was 12 years old, oh my goodness, that time he was 12 years and not 13 years old, I guess, like today, the bar mitzvah idea. But he was in Jerusalem, coming, Jerusalem at the time of Pesach. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe it wasn't bar mitzvah time for him, but they just came for the feast. They came for the feast. And when they talk about Pesach, he cannot go home. The Pesach arrests him. Passover. He knows it in his heart. Passover is me. He stays with the older people, and they were amazed at his questions. Well, he asked them many questions, I'm sorry. And they were amazed at his answers. What does it mean? He was asking them questions, but he was actually answering his own questions because they couldn't answer them. What world does he come from? That's exactly the right question. What world does he come from? He is different than anybody. And then come the parents. After 3 days, they say, "Where you been? We've been looking." Actually, I shouldn't say parents, the mother and foster father, not real father. "Where you been? You were supposed to come with us." They didn't realize that he was also different in this way. They knew he was different, but he was so different that when it came to Passover, you could not get him out of the temple right away. It took 3 days. He kept talking about this matter, and we don't know what all matters they talk about. Wow. "I am meek and lowly in heart." Was it meek and lonely to stay behind and not tell the parents? Yes, it was. Because he was so much taken by the other world. The other world for why he came to bring heaven here was so much stronger to him. That was his real world. And everything had to bend to it. So there was no rebellion in his heart and in his mind. It wasn't rebellion. He was in another world. "I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto yourself." So when they said, when Miriam and Joseph came and said, "Why did you do that to us?" He said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you know I must be about my father's house, in my father's house?" Aramath's house, English as business, whatever. I prefer house to business. I mean, because I believe it's true. So, I had to be in my father's house. My father's house, Miriam had just said, "I and your father have been seeking for me." He corrected them. "I must be at my father's house. This temple is my father's house." Actually, he's the temple in the temple. The father's house. Yes, 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 yes. And Yosef is not really the father. Yes. But he was in another world. Did he follow his heart? You know, there's people that say, "Follow your heart." It can be the most dangerous thing, and it can be also the best thing. If my heart is immersed in the heart of God, that I don't have an independent heart, but my heart and God's heart are one and the same. I mean, our heart is so attached to God's heart, incorporated into God's heart, then to follow that heart is the way to go. Absolutely. Love God and do what you will, like Augustinus said. Yes, yes, on that condition that I have a crucified life. But if I don't have a crucified life, follow your heart could be the most dangerous thing. Yes, 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 yes. So, amen. And then you shall find rest unto your souls. I've often quoted Richard or Reuben Warbrand. I knew him, and I was in the same meetings with him. It was really a privilege. But the thing about him, he lived this way. after the meeting, he was speaking in a big cathedral somewhere. As a Jewish man, he could go anywhere because he believed in Yeshua. He had suffered. So he spoke in this big cathedral. And after the cathedral meeting was over, his friends would come around and say, "Hey, it's time to go to eat. The food is hot. The people have prepared it for us." He said, "Okay." And there was a drunken man sitting at the steps of the cathedral. He sat down next to the man and talked with him 3 hours. They said, they tried to get him going and say, "The food is ready, we should go." He said, "No, my friends, you don't understand. You have friends, I have friends. This man has no friends. I'm his only friend now. So I need to hear what he has to say and then see where it goes." And so it was. Then Wurmbrand came to Stockholm. Same thing again. After a meeting, the people invited him to eat somewhere. But someone came and said, "We have another meeting in the other street in the same city. Can you come and speak to us now?" He said, "Of course. What about the meal?" "Food can wait. Food can wait. We'll talk about Yeshua. We'll talk about God. We'll talk about His kingdom." This is the point. We have this world that looks very real to us. The world of the flesh, the world of self, the world of man's thoughts. This is people's world and demons' world. Of course, it's under God's hand still. But there's the other beautiful world. And Yeshua is inviting to this beautiful world. And I don't mean to say that every time we should break every lunch appointment, it also may be ordered by God. But I'm just saying that it's possible to have His heart. And when Yeshua, that other kingdom called Him, that fellowship with the Father called Him to stay in that house, in the temple, house of God, He would stay. And then He would go back home to Nazareth and be obedient to them. No problem. How could you be angry with such a boy as this? Impossible. Impossible. He was someone that came from another place. You know, we all need to be people that come from another place. That other place is grace and truth, holiness and glory, unconditional love that changes the hearts. It's not a place of compromise, but it's a place where hearts that are compromising are changed, where there is no compromise. There is a place. It's a place of rest. And then, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm going to quickly go to a couple of other scriptures so that we can anchor this thought into our hearts. After Paul has said that in Romans 12, Shaul, Paul, has said in Romans chapter 12 that by the mercies of God we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. We should really think about Yitzhak, like Isaac, Yitzhak here, because he presented his body as a living sacrifice. he is the one that wasn't killed. I don't know of any other sacrifice in the Bible that was placed on the altar and taken back. The animals were placed on the altar and killed one by one as they were sacrificed. But here, Isaac was a living sacrifice. He was willing to die, but he didn't have to die because there was another sacrifice. We're like Isaac. Isaac is hot. And we present ourselves like, here I am. Whatever you want. And don't be conformed to this world. It takes a sacrifice to not to be conformed to this world. We need to align ourselves day after day to the sacrifice of Yeshua. He is the real Isaac who really died and was raised from the dead, like Isaac was in a Hamshalah is in Hebrew, Hamshalah is in English, whatever. Yeah. So, we're like that. And not conformed to this world. It's easy to be conformed to this world, but we need the sacrifice of Yeshua and live, even presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to this new kingdom which is alive, new world, to be joined to Yeshua in the resurrection. So we're not conformed to this world. The world has a pull. It is a powerful drawing. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of our thoughts, that you may prove what is good and accepted and perfect. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wonderful. So it's not just, and people say that it's replacing our thoughts with God's thoughts, but maybe it's something deeper than that. We're merging with God's thoughts. Like if I drive a car and there's a major turnpike, or what do you call it, like a major highway, I come from a sideway and it says yield. I come and then I merge into the traffic. There's a traffic of heaven going on. God's thoughts, God's spirit, God's move, God's life is moving on. And I need to merge to that. This. I need to merge into the thoughts of God. I need to merge into God's lane. And so I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. The Spirit actually renews my mind. When I let the gospel and the whole counsel of God renew my mind, it's a different thinking. It's joint thinking with God. It's not trying to think like Him. It's merging with His thoughts. Actually, this is really pretty much the secret. Not doing our own living. Yeshua didn't do his own living. He was so conscious of God. He was merging with his thought. He was merging with him. And for this we need the cross, resurrection, the word. But for this we need fellowship with others. And when this fellowship really catches on, it is addictive in a good sense. It's addictive in a good sense, that we get more hungry and hungry and hungry and hungry for this. That is right. I say to you, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone that is among you, and that's the same thought what Yeshua said, to learn of Him. In other words, not to think more highly than he ought to think. Not to think too highly, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what is my measure of faith? I must work with that grace. I cannot work outside of that. I usually have a habit of in the evening before I go to sleep, I say, maybe I studied something, I did a few things. I get my Bible one more time, hit the last verse, say one more prayer, thanking the Father for the day. I get one more promise and read and meditate a little bit. But then the day comes, you're just exhausted. Hey, I live my measure of faith today. I don't have to go through a routine. I can skip some routines. These exercises are routines, but we're not slaves to our routines. I forgot. I was listening to one wonderful message from America on the internet, and the message was about not being slaves to our routines, but using our routines to help. Like Paul said, exercise yourself to godliness. We exercise. But then there's a day that we just need to recapture what I'm doing by grace. If it's not by grace, and I'm not resting and learning of Him, that the desire comes out of Him, I could be slave even to my routine. Hey, it's all Him. I want to close with Psalm 133. And I don't want to make too much commentary. No, what did I say? I meant not 133, I meant 131. That's what Yaakov experienced when he met his brother Esau. That's what Yeshua taught us. That's what Paul told us, not to think more highly. And so I say when I read this, Lord, teach me this psalm. Teach me this psalm. I mean, teach me this heart that King David had. King David, you know what? I don't want to talk about his mistakes. He had mistakes. They were forgiven. He said, I sinned, forgive me. God forgave him. He had a heart for God, like very few people. There's many people that in the letter of the law, they're more perfect, they're very moral, but they don't have as much heart for God as some people that have failed much, but they love much. This is the mystery. David was a man, David was a man after God's heart. Actually, ask God's heart. Kali be. Ask my heart, God said. Ask my heart, like a reflection of my heart. His heart is joined to my heart. He's got my heart. That's what we should look more than at people's failures. Failures can be forgiven. Victory can be gained. But who has God's heart? My heart is not haughty, he says, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. That in Hebrew many means higher than me, higher than my level, higher than where I am now. How can he say, what if I came and I said, I'm pretty humble, you know. My heart is not proud at all. And you would say, how do you know? Let me say what I think. David didn't just say it from himself. He was humbled by God. And when he was humbled by God, he had a witness in his heart. My heart is not now humble. He would not, my heart is now not haughty. It's not proud. He would never have said it from his own wisdom, from his own strength. This was after he was deeply humbled. He was humbled. And he had a witness in his heart. Now my heart is in a low place. I don't exercise myself in great manners or in things too high for me. I'm going to not read even this whole thing, which I would love to, but just say this one thing. What was the main message of John the Baptist? He was in Jordan Valley, in the desert, somewhere there in the mountains, mostly in the valley desert area, for maybe 17 years or so, something like that. What was his message? Repent, in other words, return. Because you're not far from God. You don't even think like God. Why? You want to be big. You want to be high. You are the great people in your eyes. Every valley will be exalted. And every mountain shall be brought low. And then all flesh will see the glory of God. And then what will happen to one mountain? There's one mountain that will stand higher above all the mountains. Somebody said there, out there somewhere, Mount Zion. Yes, it's the mountain of the Lord. It's the only one. It's a mountain of grace. It's a mountain of holiness. It's a mountain of glory where Yeshua is high and lifted up. I don't want anybody else to be lifted up. I respect people. I don't want to respect, live with disrespect. But I respect God in them. I want to respect even a person who is down and out because he's in the image of God. And I want to tell him how God can raise him up. But there's only one who is high and lifted up. Thank you, Lord, Yeshua's name. Amen.